Hey Shane, this is Mac, and if you want to give me a holler back as soon as I got the forward-of-flight inflammation, I will give it to U.S. and there it's U.S.
Telling you, bro, what's been happening, bro?
Not too much.
Still hitting the more Peggy on.
Everybody, Shane Terrio here. Welcome back to the Riff Raff. Thanks for tuning in, taking a moment of your day. Hopefully it's an enjoyable one. And I'm doing great, thanks for asking. You're listening to a tune called Mean Old Man. And it's a project I'm involved in called Le Combo Power Trio with Jürgen Carlson from Government Mule on bass and Toss Panos, drummer with Lukather and Mike Landau and all these great players. And just a little fun we had. No click tracks, no auto-tune. Check it out. It's at ShaneTerrio.com if you like it. I wanted to try something today, a little different format on Riff Raff. And since I've got like 46 episodes, I don't know. I just thought off the top of my head I would go way, way back to some of the first six or seven and just pull some stories from them and see what you guys think of this format. It's a little shorter. I'm not stopping the podcast. It's just there's so many nuggets in here I wanted to sort of extract and add a little backstory to. So I hope you like this format. And as always, subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate the support. Check out the t-shirts. All that stuff's on my website, ShaneTerrio.com. Hit me up on Instagram, YouTube. All right, enough. Hope you enjoy it. Clip number one is one of my favorites. It's taken from episode 2 with John Schofield. During this time, I was living in New York and John was my neighbor and we got to be pretty close friends and we're still good friends. Anyway, this particular day he came over to jam and I asked him about playing over a tune called Protocol, his approach, which is playing outside. And it's some classic Schofield phrasing in this little clip. I wish the audio was better. It was one of my early episodes, but I think you'll enjoy it. And here's how it went down.
This is a long time ago. Obviously, I didn't know you then, but there was a clinic I went to once, and you were playing Protocol. And somebody asked you, you weren't playing, but somebody asked you the question. He said, "How do you play over, you know, Protocol when it's, you know, there's no key center? Like, what are you thinking about when you play it?" And you said, "Well, can you play the riff?" And the guy said, "Yeah." And he'd go, "Okay, well, tell me when I hit a wrong note." And you started playing over it. And It was just like, you know, it was a big lesson in phrasing and, you know, the way you build tension and the release and, you know.
Well, you know, moving the stuff around and not just playing in one key. But it's not like, I don't know, you just get good at being free. And this stuff, I did it in kind of fusion contexts in the 70s. And to people, it sounded somewhat new, I guess. But it really came from jazz and from the 60s jazz musicians that got really great at that. When Coltrane came in and they started to play over vamps, you know, it really started with Miles with Counted Blue, you know, where they would play in one key, you know.
But those are more modal vamps you're talking
those
about.
Are modal.
Protocol is but I don't know if
Protocol
I'm playing
is,
right, but.
Yeah, it's over that.
Is that right?
Yeah, but see, I think of that as all G.
Well, how would you play over that?
I don't think of the chain. I don't think of playing.
G what now? G anything?
Yeah, but I wouldn't play in. I would either play in G or play my shit where I move it around. You know.
All right, clip number two is with Dweezil Zappa, taken from episode 8. This day, this whole week when this was recorded, actually, Dweezil and I were doing a guitar workshop in Montana, and we were doing a class together, and we had some time off, and we were hanging in this cabin just jamming, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get him on the Riff Raff. So this is a great interview if you ever want to check out the whole thing if you haven't already. There's some really great stories in it. And this is just one that I just happened to pull. And it's Dweezil talking about the first time he met Eddie Van Halen, making a record with his band, and how how Eddie went to the talent show and coached the band. It's a pretty great story. Here we go.
I started playing guitar when I was 12. The first thing I ever recorded was a song called My Mother's a Space Cadet with the flip side, Crunchy Water. And somehow or another, my dad convinced Edward Van Halen to produce this thing, but he wasn't able to have credit for it because of his record contract. So it says DeVards, produced by DeVards.
Where'd that name come from?
I don't know.
Did your dad make that name?
No, that was something from Van Halen, because it was Don Landy, the engineer who did the original Van Halen stuff, and it was Edward Van Halen. Those were the two guys.
Yeah.
So it was the DeVards. So we were, you know, everybody that played on that was 12 years old, except for we brought in a different drummer, because our drummer, Edward Van Halen, was like, yeah, we got to get somebody that can play a little bit better than this. You know, so
the drummer's always the first guy to get replaced,
unfortunately. Yeah, but it turned out to be Warren Cucurullo's brother, Jay Cucurullo, and so he was about 18 or 20 at the time, and we were all 12. So Eddie Van Halen is trying to figure out how to work with us in the studio, because none of us have ever been in the studio. It's all analog, so, you know, we don't know anything about punching in or any of that kind of stuff. So we got this massive lesson in recording technology, all the process of everything. But I remember Edward just scratching his head saying, what am I supposed to do with you guys? Give you a milk and cookie break? Or, you know, it's like, you know.
Did he walk in with like a case of Heineken back then?
At the time, I think there was some Heineken involved, you know, but it was just this surreal thing of, I had been listening to a ton of Van Halen, and then out of nowhere he calls, comes over, and then within a month later we're recording the song, you know.
My mother is a space cadet.
Around that same time, I was doing a school talent show, and me and the other guys that were in this, you know, band that recorded on this, we were going to play Running with the Devil. And so somehow or another, he ends up going to the sound check of this talent show. Now imagine this, at that time, he's the biggest guitarist, rock star in the world.
Yeah.
And he just comes to a school, you know, like in the late afternoon, like 3 o'clock, and he's in the school auditorium, you know, checking out our band playing Running with the Devil. And so I was playing a wrong chord, and he came up behind me, and so the guitar is on my shoulders, but he stands behind me and he plays the guitar, so I have guitar player perspective to see, because I was playing something like, you know, the riff is,
right.
So, and I think I must have been doing, I wasn't getting,
that was even closer than I came. I think I went, where are you? You're in. That's the way I did it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I missed the.
Well, so that I was not getting this note in this part.
Right.
I got like.
Oh, that's a different. You were still closer than me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you got the. And you got the. But I missed. You know, I had this. But I didn't have the other one. So it was funny because you know, he came up and said, "Oh, you know, you got to play it like this." And so it was another one of those epiphany moments, like, oh, that's how you do
it,
you know?
Yeah, light bulb, yeah.
And of course, you know, I was nowhere near catching the phrasing on the verse with all the stuff that that he did so great, all those fills with the harmonics and, you know,
right.
All those, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the dynamics and all that stuff, you know. But what was funny was that he played most of the song with the band. So it was like he was obviously the best one in the band, you know. But
so did you win the talent show?
I don't even remember that part.
You had
I just
to
remember.
I mean, if Eddie came to the talent show as a coach and support, man. Come
I
on.
Do remember that part. But the one thing that was also pivotal was. He always did the best pick slides. Hands down, he was like the pick slide wizard, you know?
Yeah,
and but he would always do one where it would start over here on the neck and then it would go down, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, with this sound, you can't get the, you know, you can't get the but so to see how he would do the pick slide maneuver, that made a big difference too. Because, you know, you'd hear it and you go, how is he doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like a jet plane taking off.
All right, episode 3 was with George Porter from the Meters, legendary bass player. We had been in a studio together working on something for an artist, and I cornered George in the back room, and I got him on the riffraff. And here he's sharing some gems about what he looks for in a drummer, which I thought is really great advice for any musician, even us guitar players, or if you're a drummer, it's golden. And then we played a tune together called People Say, just a little jamming, and hope you enjoy it. This is another must check out if you haven't already. Here we go. So George, if I, you know, for like drummers or something listening, I mean, what do you, you know, you played with Zig, but you played with a lot of great drummers, man, besides Zig. What do you look for in a drummer? Because, you know, down here in New Orleans where we are right now, you know, it's a town full of great drummers. But what do you look for when you call somebody? What makes a great drummer that you like to play with?
Well, you know, outside the fact of that, you know, just being able to time is essence. You know, what makes a great drummer is that he has great timing, you know, and that no matter what he says in his fills, he always know where one is.
Yeah.
You know, so that means that the drummer has to be on top of, you know, his game. And that's, you know, that's something that I look for. Yeah, yeah, it's the most important. I think the most important thing that if you're looking at drummers is the first of all know, their abilities to keep time,
right,
and always know where one is, because it's important that no matter how many you know they got a bunch of really great drummers out there. They got chops and everything. Sure. But they'll make fills and change the tempo, or move it, because sort of they just made one of these great drum fills, really great drum fills, but he moved the tempo, and that's important I think that's important for me. I mean, that's the first thing I look at is how well he can sit on the timing, I mean, like a lot of guys, and exactly music itself, the drummer is the guardian of the groove. He has to be the guy that holds the pocket down. He has to be the one that keeps us from rushing, because as whenever we playing these licks, we can move time, we can move the time, and it's not necessarily that we want to do it, but we do it. And so it's important that the drummer has control of that. He knows that, all right, I got y'all, here, listen to me, and that's important, yeah.
The unison lines that you and Leo did together, like, I mean, just off the top of my head. So like that. Like, can we play that together?
Yep.
Three, four.
Yeah, so I'm a little sloppy with it. That.
And then the way you turn it around.
Yeah.
Then it goes to E. That's great, man. Iconic frigging line right there, man.
All right, good stuff there. My last clip, and certainly not least, just off the top of my head, one of my faves, from episode 9, Warren DeMartini from Rat. Warren happened, I was in LA this time, I was playing with Hall & Oates, and Warren had come to the show. He's been to quite a few shows since I've been in the band, and picked me up the next day and drove me around Hollywood and showed me all the places where Rat started, where he wrote Round and Round, the apartment that they all lived in, the one-bedroom apartment. This particular clip, he's talking about when he and Jakey Lee lived together in the early days, and I'll let him tell the story, but it's a great episode, and Warren doesn't do a lot of interviews, you may have noticed, and this is a good one, so check it out if you haven't already, the full thing. All right, here we go.
So yeah, Jake and stays up all night playing guitar and quickly adapted to that. So we would be watching a really fuzzy black and white TV reruns of some show, not even paying attention. Just he'd be working on what would end up being Bark at the Moon, and I was chipping away at the chords of Round and Round.
Wow.
And both sort of sitting on the floor, their backs against the couch, and I mean, this was the routine.
Wow, man, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall there.
we had no idea that these songs were what these ideas we were just playing, you know, just weird. I had a Charvel, kind of a Mutt Charvel that I, you know, put together from secondhand parts, and Jake had his white. Well, it wasn't white yet. It was still the Sunburst Fender Strat, yeah. Unplugged. You know what I mean? But you can hear it. You can hear it well when nothing. You know, TV is super low if the sound's on at all. And you're just playing. You can hear it fine. But it's not waking the neighbors up or anything. And it's like we were chipping away at songs that were gonna be heard. You know?
Yeah, man. Bark at the Moon and Round. I definitely shedded both of those.
Yeah, he's like, you should. That's a good one. You should, you know, work on, you know, keep working on that. And then he's doing the riff to, like, you know, Bark at the Moon Bark at the Moon. When we were shooting the pictures for the Out of the Cellar album cover, Bark at the Moon debuted on KLOS, and that's what was playing in the photo studio.
Yeah.
They just had KLOS on.
Wow. Like,
oh, new track for, you know, it was good old Uncle Joe Benson, and, you know, new track from Ozzy, you know, with Jake and Lee, you know, hometown guy. You know, and it was just like, I was like, oh my God.
That's surreal, man. You're doing your photo shoot for your record and then your buddy Jake's songs on the radio. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So both you guys, it proved to be a good move.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did, you know, to answer your question, yeah, we did jam a lot. And we didn't jam. It was just like, it was just quietly working on our own stuff. But we just sitting there in the living room. And I moved around a bit, and then we moved into this place, which we're getting close to here. We're on Robertson, crossing Pico, and it's coming up here. I haven't seen it in a while. But for a little while later that year, this was like when I joined up. Like I said, it was in the fall of '82. Moved in. Robin, Stephen, and I got moved into this little apartment down here in Culver City. Or no, it was National City. And it was just a one-bedroom apartment. It had a kitchen, a little tiny.
So three of you guys are living in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just had my practice amp and my guitar, and I would just, work on I'd plug in at some point during the day, you know, and start work, you know, just playing. And and Steven and Robin were like, what's that? And it's like, oh, they got these, you know, it's this part I've been working on. And then we all sort of gathered around in a circle, and I had the verse and the solo section, I think, and the verse, solo section, and the chorus chords to Round and Round. And then Robin had the I knew right from the beginning part.
Mm.
And so within, I don't know, 15, 30 minutes, we had, there it was, man, you know. So I'm sitting on my practice amp, Robin's sitting on his, Steven's just standing there kind of scatting along, going, you know, no, do that, you know, double that part, that kind of stuff. And then Robin's like, I got this other song, make a perfect pre-chorus to this, you know, and
so you haven't been here in a long time, huh?
We're getting warm. So that, you know, there it was. Round and Round was born, or most of it was born.
All right, straight from the man himself. And that's just off the top of my head a few clips. I wanted to keep this one short, like 20 minutes-ish. Let me know what you think of this shorter format for maybe a few of the Riff Raff episodes. I think it's gives a little bit of an extra slant on it. And as always, I appreciate your support. you know, check out the Riff Raff t-shirts on ShaneTerrio.com. There's some snazzy little designs. Hit me up on my YouTube channel, which I'm trying to build a little more these days. And there's a lot of merch and stuff on my website, ShaneTerrio.com. I want to give a shout out to some people that have really supported the podcast that I appreciate. Jeff Boney, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing all the names, Jenny Blair, Jude Rierison, Ray Ellender, Carl Donahue, Mike Jones, Elizabeth Dunn, Jeff Bollert, and Hetty Wilhelmson. I really appreciate all your support, and you guys are above and beyond. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Thanks so much. See you next time.